Superman and watch our hero fly. In a super jet he comes from a billion miles away. Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are discussing Ultraman Episode 37, The Little Hero.
It's very specific.
Yeah.
It's like jumping right into a late Ultraman.
Yeah, and this is our first episode with a guest.
This is a very special episode. I mean, the whole reason we're doing it, this particular episode, is because of the impression that it made on our special guest.
I forced you into doing this.
Michael Giacchino. We're actually at his place.
Yeah, we're all together here in California.
He just showed it to me.
This is the first time that Jorge and I are recording in person.
Face to face.
Really?
Yeah,
sure.
Which is kind of weird, too.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. Brought you together.
So, first, I just want to do, a little intro of, just kind of, where Ralph and I kind of coming at this. When we started doing this podcast, we started Googling kaiju and stuff just to start creating, our master list of things that we're going to want to see and record. And this picture came up with these kaiju that we didn't know, we weren't familiar with. Yeah. And there was this really weird little guy in it.
Yeah.
With big lips, and he held his hands a certain way. And then, months later, Michael, you're in Hawaii, and we're hanging out talking. I had a Godzilla on my shirt, and we were talking about, and I said, oh yeah, I also do this podcast with Ralph and stuff, and you'd met Ralph before, mm-hmm. And then you said, oh yeah, there's this guy, and it scared the crap out of me when I was little, and you held your hands up in the position of Pigman, even though we'll get into the fact that you thought his name was Sigmund in your memory, but
yes.
In the Pigman, in that same position that we've been already seeing photos, old pictures, as well as people's artwork of
same
character.
Before we even started the podcast, I'd never seen a picture of this thing.
Yeah.
And then
this little weird guy shows up everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's famous. He's a huge deal.
Everywhere.
He's
iconic. And then you did that hand. I know who you're talking about. Just with while you're holding a hand. And so then I was like, well, then that's what we have to talk about when we do it.
Yeah.
So
part
of Ralph and I is we're not experts in these movies. We just like them.
Right.
And like to watch.
That was the same for me.
Something like that.
Yep.
So you are basically our authority on Ultraman now.
Yeah.
And here we jump in. Episode, was it 39?
37.
37.
And this is the only second time I've seen Ultraman. I saw the first episode maybe about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And so I have
And how do you not then continue
now,
to the second
all
episode?
I know about Ultraman myself was, I had one of those, those toys that are they had a wheel on them. And when you run the wheel, there's a little hole in it and sparks shoot out.
Yeah.
Neck hole.
Yep.
On these things. I had an Ultraman, one of those. I didn't know it was Ultraman at the time. I just knew it was a cool looking robot.
Yep.
And,
well, he's not a robot.
I know, but as far as I can figure out, he was a cool looking robot. And so, clearly he's not a robot because when you see the way the outfit moves, it's kind of weird. It's it's rubber. It's almost like a dolphin skin.
Yeah.
The thing is, I had seen that. And I remember Ultraman being referenced in this old Henry Rollins cassette tape that a friend of mine had borrowed. It's called Long Walk on a Short Pier. And he talked about the story, whenever, to avoid being bullied, he would swing on the swings. And he said the best song, he was humming the theme to Ultraman because it's the best song to swing to while you pump your legs.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it is a great song.
It's amazing.
I thought Ultraman was a robot as well, but I think it's because of Jet Jaguar.
Right.
I'm a big fan of Jet Jaguar, and I've been Jet Jaguar forever.
Right.
And he's kind of looks the same, and
he's
made it
like a
rubber suit, and he was a robot.
Yeah.
So I just assumed Ultraman was a robot, even though it's got the word man in the title.
No, he's an alien, actually. I mean, from what I understand, as your resident
the human
expert,
being is?
Yeah, he's an alien.
The guy who turns into him is an alien?
Well, no, that's a real guy. What happened? Here's what happened,
Is this Greatest American Hero?
Well, sort of. It's not that. Okay. Yeah, so there was a blue sphere that came down from space, entered Earth's atmosphere. Hayata, who is with the Japanese Air Force, and he's also part of Science Patrol, which is a segment of the Japanese Air Force.
Okay, I want to talk about that for a second.
Science Patrol?
Can we pause for a second?
Yeah.
I know what
first outfits. Okay, so in the opening of this thing, Pigman is in a store.
Is it in a mall? Yeah.
And everyone's freaking out because he's in the department store, and he notices a toy of himself. also that seems to freak out about a little bit too.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he had been on a previous episode.
Okay. And they're either cops or security guards. Right. So he's clearly, he's part of this world. But yes. So is the Science Patrol the people in the orange outfits that show up?
Yes.
So they're kind of like a version of the X-Wing fighter outfit, only uh-huh. formal with ties.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Now, these are incredible costumes.
The first thing I thought was,
this is the
how
costume.
How will it look on my body type?
Yeah, exactly. That outfit. It's not one piece. It looks like there's
several pieces. It's like a jacket and the pants and the.
But the way the tie is there
and the pin is the
it's
thing.
It's amazing.
The pin is the key. Yeah. The little pin they have, which is an awesome pin. You know. So anyway, this blue thing comes down. Okay. Right, Hayata goes to find out what it is in his. He's in a jet, right? Fighter jet. Okay. And then a red sphere comes out of nowhere, knocks into his jet. He crashes. Now, the thing in the red sphere is Ultraman. Ultraman, Hayata is, for all intents and purposes, dead. Ultraman feels really badly that he caused this accident. He was going after the blue thing. And in doing so, he ended up almost killing Hayata. So what he does is he fuses himself with Hayata in order to save him out of guilt. I don't know. Maybe he was Catholic. I don't know. But... He fuses himself.
Now, this is a giant Ultraman with a human-sized Hayata?
Yeah, well, he ends up sort of like a spirit goes into him, you know?
And yeah, but then, like when he's feeling bad, he's like, is he holding a doll? Is this in the pilot? This is the pilot.
This is the pilot, yeah. Okay. Yes, yes. I don't know. But he has this thing called a beta capsule.
Right.
Now, I don't remember. I'm a little fuzzy on exactly how he gets the beta capsule, but clearly Ultraman somehow gives this thing to him. No, there is this conversation between he and Ultraman, now that I remember. Yes. And he says, you know, you will do this, and every time you need whatever. The whole sort of Fortress of Solitude type of conversation. So now whenever these monsters come to Earth to take out the planet, he uses his beta capsule, and summons Ultraman.
Hayata gets to stay alive.
Yes.
Or basically come back to life. But now, it's like the Santa Claus. He now has to...
yes.
He has to, when Ultraman is needed, he has to use the thing so Ultraman can do the job.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, he didn't ask for that arrangement.
No.
You know, which is...
It was...
Thrust upon him. Yes. So it was not something he asked for. And I always wondered if, given the choice, would he have just said, no, just let me die in the plane crash.
Now, the other question is, we know if when he Ultramans, is it Hayata as Ultraman, or is it Ultraman's brain spirit?
Well, I don't know. He does, you know, he, as you saw today in the episode, he does communicate with the guys, you know, like when the guy said, okay, you ready? And he nods to him, yes, I'm ready. He's holding the thing. Yeah. So they do talk, but does he remember that when he's, you know, he does remember, because it's always like, it's like the whole Superman thing, and they're like, where were you? And all of that. That happens all the time. He's like, well, I was over there helping. So he is aware of what's going on. So it's very much like that.
Yeah, I definitely I'm looking forward to when we delve into this show.
Yeah.
Pigman's a weird looking monster.
Let me tell you, that thing never left my brain from the very first time I ever saw it. The Pigman, and a lot of those monsters, they were so, the designs of those
this
monsters.
This particular death?
That particular, yes, no, I remember
or
being,
you mean just Pigman in general.
Pigman in general, first of all.
Yeah.
But then the emotionality of the episode as well. I mean, we watch it now and it seems a little, you know, a little kitschy. But but as a kid, I remember being so sad when Pigman died.
Sure, I buy it.
I remember being so sad, like, because he was like this.
I mean, you've had 37 episodes to fall in love with him or whenever he got introduced.
Yeah, so
it was a bummer. And when we watched Godzilla versus Destroyer recently, which is not going to air till October, but
I mean, it's one of those. We will at one point watch Godzilla vs. Destroyer, and we will feel bad.
Yeah, yeah. We
play with time in the show.
We feel bad for any time the monsters are really
hurt
and in pain.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. It's so I don't think there's any problem with that, because even watching this when Pigman. Well, I mean,
it's not an easy
monster get bloody too.
Yeah, the monster gets bloody, but that monster was an asshole.
He's a bad guy. Yeah.
He was not a nice guy.
No,
right. So, but Pigman, and he doesn't die an easy death. I mean, that's pretty brutal, right?
Yeah,
it was a surprise.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's quick. It's hard. It's a stomp and out.
Yeah,
it's done.
It's pretty nasty. And he was a nice guy. And the thing about his death is he went out to save those guys.
Right. That one guy was going to get squashed.
Yeah.
He goes, no, over here. Now, and clearly he does appear like the way the kid interacts when he sees Pigman in the store.
Yeah.
And I do feel you could see that he has potential, that he's probably like the one that the kids like for his cuteness factor.
Right.
I guess.
Sort of.
Cute. Yeah. In terms of air quotes.
As far as monsters go, yes.
It's his crinkle cut fries hair.
He is kind of disturbing looking. I mean,
he's
weird.
I thought it looked like Coral. It's a lot of lips. Oh, yeah. Coral on his back? Yeah, yeah. That's probably what they're intended.
And his voice.
Yeah, he kind of talked in monkey noises.
Yeah.
Like when someone is doing like an impression of a chimpanzee.
Or like Charlie Brown's teacher. Yeah. It was really strange. But you have to admit, the translating machine is pretty impressive.
He spent a long time trying to figure out what he was saying. It's like, I was like, is this show is just about the people?
Well, there was one point where the guy says,
this should be called Science Patrol.
It says he made the machine and he was able to figure out what he said, but now he needed a translator.
Yeah.
But that sentence didn't make sense to me.
It didn't make sense either. Like, I thought that's what that guy was.
Yeah, I thought that's what he was doing too. But actually, I love that guy too.
Is it the machine
now? That one guy.
The guy in the gray suit.
Yeah, he was like the scientist with the cigarette.
He's the guy who has, oh, is that the same guy?
Or was that the translator? Out of his jacket? Maybe that was the
translator. Like, I was like, it says, okay, now that we figured out what he means, we need someone who does translation to then explain to us how to make this into sentences.
I didn't understand that. I don't know if that was just
Is it the machine that's a translator, which is the record it, rewind it, and it plays back in English?
Yeah,
or whatever language.
Like, after watching Godzilla's Revenge and hearing Minya talk in English, when he's like that Barney Fife voice.
Yeah.
So the build-up to Pigman talking in his Pigman voice.
Yes.
And them recording it and waiting to hear the recording played back and having them rewind it all the way.
It just goes on forever.
And then they press play and it takes a while before you actually hear his voice. Like, that buildup was like, oh man, this better be good.
As a kid, it was like so suspenseful.
Yeah.
And remember the moment when Pigman starts to freak out inside the booth?
Yeah.
When first he's just doing normal things.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he starts freaking out like something's going on.
Yeah.
And then you cut to wherever the heck that was, somewhere else, I guess, in Japan, and the mountainsides, and that thing just comes out of the ground, right? And there was two of them.
Well, this is something that we talk a lot about on the show, is that monsters,
as soon as they see each other,
they just hate each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said there were 60 monsters that were coming down. He was the head of 60 monsters. So is he constantly like dealing with a kindergarten class where they're all going at each other? If you're the head of 60 monsters.
I have no idea.
And also they referred to both Red King and Gabora by name. But those do not appear to be the monsters that are on the screen. Like when I Google those two monsters, like Red King is like the one that looks like the Michelin Man with big fists.
Right.
Okay.
And Gabora, I don't know. I just looked him up, and he looks like.
But I was like, I wonder which of these two gray monsters are Red King.
This.
Oh, okay. But that's Red King?
No, that's Gabora.
Gabora.
You'd think he'd be Red King because he's red.
I've seen that before.
He looks like a mix between Gamera and like
that's scary,
the Demigorgon from Stranger Things.
And Audrey too.
It does look like Audrey too.
When they finally played back the message and he was speaking English, I liked the voice.
Oh.
I ended up liking it. But it's funny because it was like run-on sentences.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like they did the run-on sentences because Pigman didn't talk that much in Pigman voice.
Right.
Unless the Pigman voice has like shorter, the words are shorter.
But what I thought was at the very end of the message. End of message.
Yeah.
But also the recording.
But I think the machine speaks in a robotic voice. It's almost like Small Wonder.
But the recorded voice would pause long enough for them to answer questions or ask questions, and then it would continue on. Like, they would speak in between the breaks, and Pigman never had those breaks. But
then it made me wonder, was Pigman just a messenger, or was he actually down there to warn them himself? Because when you say something like end of message.
No, I think end of message is the machine saying it's the end of.
Oh, because it's not Pigman's voice.
Okay.
It's not Pigman's voice. Because I thought that was funny, too.
Okay, that makes
sense. Yeah, I think that's just like, that's the end of translation, basically.
Right, okay, that makes sense. You know what, thank you.
It's like an answering machine.
30 years now, I've wondered.
Why does he say end of message?
But there's some effects in there that I love. Like, I always loved that show for the effects that it does. Mm-hmm. There's some great set pieces. And, you know, I believe the guy who was from Toho Studios is the guy who initially designed all those things. You know, so mm-hmm. it had some good pedigree, this show.
Well, I like the fact that the camera moved a lot around the model sets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see that too much in Godzilla movies where the cameras really move a lot. They're a little clunky, but
right.
it's still cooler to look at the models when, you know, oh, yeah, the cameras move around
yeah, the yeah. set.
And this was made, what, 60? What year was this one?
I didn't see the year.
I love the fake jets. I love that stuff.
Oh, and then the
isn't that great?
The super scientists. What are they? The
science patrol?
Science patrol?
Yeah.
I like their jet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kind of like unique sort of flight thing with pigments in
it. When he's riding in the middle. Yeah. And he does this thing. His eyes move like up and down a little bit the whole time. Kind of like, in a way, I feel like the kind of things I sometimes do like to show life. That like it's not just like, you know, a suit. Yeah.
Well, I love how he, when they're leaving the airplane, he says, no, you stay here.
Right.
You wouldn't like it out there.
Be a good boy.
You know, you wouldn't like it out there. And he's just like shakes his head. No.
Sleeping pigment in the toy store.
Yeah.
His little eyelashes.
Well, the other thing was when they got out of the airplane and they literally, all right, they don't want to be seen, right? By right. these monsters, but they're wearing these bright orange, you know, which were, you could not stand out more against that landscape.
Yeah, it's kind of like Bond henchman orange. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like whenever like Bond people have their own little mini armies, they're always in either orange, yellow, or red, just like clash.
There were some editing things which were a little weird though that I noticed that I never noticed as a kid. When after he gets squashed. Like, he squashes him. He's right there. Yes. The guys just run right up to him, and the monster's gone.
No concern for the monster at all.
No, he's just not even there. So I wasn't even... that was a little confusing.
What two species of bear do you think he figured out the translation for? The scientist. Because it's weird that he picked two bears that he could figure out the translation.
Wait, was that a line? So, was I... hear that?
So was that... You're saying two...
Let's get
two
this guy.
Unlock... Pigment. He takes two species of bear and combines them.
They're just saying this guy's accolades so far.
Oh, all right.
Oh,
they said
and a dolphin. Yeah. Well,
I picked up the dolphin and remember the bear.
So I guess.
And what did the dolphin?
Bears, two bears have different languages, I guess.
But what would a bear say?
Why would you want to talk to
him? I mean, really?
What was the Godzilla versus Gigan where? Godzilla and Angulus are talking to each other in English.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No. What?
Oh, you're going to have to watch that. It's Godzilla and Angulus are speaking English to each other.
Mouths moving? Or just telepathy kind of a
thing? Well, it's two persons. In the Japanese, original Japanese, they like, they'll like skrionk and then a word bubble with Japanese characters pops up. Or the American, they do a voiceover, and
it's like a dance voice.
And there's no voice bubble.
No voice bubble.
They actually speak English.
Which do you prefer?
Neither. It shouldn't exist.
So wait, do you think the monsters can't communicate with each other in this world? Or
it's
creepy.
I think they communicate, but I don't think they should have syntax.
Well, but think about it. Like in that message they got from Pigman, he says that this monster has a grudge against Ultraman.
Right.
Uh-huh. So they
and
had fought.
And the Science Patrol.
Yeah, and the Science Patrol. They had a fight before, and he has a grudge against them. So clearly they...
This is a monster coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, so that monster... What's that monster's name?
The one with the feathers?
Yeah, what was his
name? I just wrote down the bearded dragon.
Yes, yeah, so he looks like...
That's clear. It's like...
Feather darts.
It felt very much like, how do we recycle this outfit? Let's put a beard on him. Let's just cover him with feathers.
Yeah.
But I love that one moment when Ultraman's sitting on top of him.
Yanking the feathers
and
out?
And he's yanking them off.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So again, clearly they're sentient, right? He had a mission to come back and get this guy.
Yeah.
So they're not just
mindless. The monster's weird looking. He pops up like a showgirl. And then he keeps shooting his feathers out and they poke into him, into Ultraman. So that was where I go, oh, so he's not made out of metal. Because those things don't just be actually penetrate.
Oh, I thought he was made out of metal, but those were just really sharp feathers.
I don't think he's metal. No, I think that they just. I never thought he was metal.
Okay.
I thought it was just like a suit. Oh. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, there is a big zipper at the back.
I was imagining being a big Velcro thing.
Did they even have Velcro back then?
It's a huge seam.
But did they, I don't think they had Velcro then, did they?
You mean as far as the invention of Velcro?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Is it that new? Well, I'm looking.
Well, let's look.
Well, I remember the day I had to. I was able to stop tying my shoes because of Velcro shoes.
What was the king?
That was in the 80s.
King, the monster was called King what?
Red King?
Red King?
Well, Red King is that guy with a fist.
And that's...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they said
Ghabora
and... Oh, Red King, yeah.
This guy, he was scary too. I mean, there's an episode where it has these guys... with these sort of lobster claw hands.
Yeah.
And that was one of the ones that scared me the most as a kid, that episode.
Yeah, I have a toy of that. So one of my Japanese fans once sent me a toy of that guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it looks like he's got a bug head and two lobster claws hands.
It's so scary.
And I don't know who it is. That's something that I'm waiting to show up as well. There's a shadow puppet of him in the opening credits. Like, okay. There's like
yes, he's right in the front.
What are Ultraman's powers? Because I noticed he does the arm thing.
Yeah, so there we go. Well,
the cross arms, and that shoots
that
a ray.
Shoots a ray, okay. Yes.
That's originally invented in 1941, by the way, Velcro.
41, and
41,
then,
like, but then, and then get patented in, like, the 1955, and...
So when was it available for monster suits?
Humphrey Cripps began investing in Velcro companies in the 1960s.
Humphrey Cripps?
Yeah.
Now, I had always heard that it was invented by NASA.
Velcro is a portmanteau of the French words... velour and crochet.
Huh.
Velvet hook.
Velvet hook.
That's have you seen the statue?
Name of my new
band. It's like, me and Jorge have discussed this. It's like it's a statue. It's like a bust, but it's just
it's a figure.
It's
yeah.
Just the Ultraman arm.
Yeah.
Full size.
Uh-huh.
Just the arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've seen
just
that?
Embodied
yeah.
arms.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, but that's, come on. That,
that's just
you know,
iconic,
that's,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and my friends used to run around, you know, the yard. At, you know.
So that's what it does? It shoots.
Shoots
the laser,
and I believe it's gamma rays. I don't. I can't be.
But then later he makes he creates a construct, like
right?
Wall.
Where he stops. Well, there's
is that like something
the
you've seen
field.
Every once in a while? He'll do that stuff when it's convenient.
That's pretty great.
He can do these other things. But what about when he sort of stopped everything? He got the feathers to stop. Remember, and
he was
frozen in air too, and then he just started spinning around this way.
Yeah,
you know, in a circle, almost like when you're spinning to go take a turn in a game or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's, there is the flying Ultraman set piece, like thing for the thing. And then
there was one where he was coming straight down, and then they cut to the monster, and Ultraman's feet came in. Remember, because he was facing with his hands towards the monster, and then the next cut, it was his feet, and it hit him right in the face. So I don't know. I guess you just. Do with what you can.
Yeah.
Can you imagine filming one of those? What that would have been like? That must have been so hot.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be, they can only do for so long. I mean, that clearly is like a rubber suit.
Yeah.
And they've got to be doing it.
It wasn't, I don't think they had breathable flat.
It's
got to
be bad.
And I mean, Ultraman isn't in the episode for like a super long amount of time, but I mean, how,
I
like, they've got to be shooting these fast.
Yeah, you do like, yeah, like, you know, just maybe even less than 10 minutes, take a break, do it again. Yeah.
It is.
Then get the rigid one and hang it from the wires and get shots of that.
Let's work on some of those for a while he takes another break.
But the great thing about the show is it's 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know, it's you just can binge it real quick.
So I want to talk about the Science Patrol's guns.
Oh, yeah. How those tall, wavy.
Each have, there's the guns by themselves.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then they lined them all up, did the cross the streams thing with three to give a special blast.
An extra. Yeah.
And then the other guy had that thing that he could put on the end of it. The
That's
new
the
gun.
Thing he created.
Yeah, and the new gun really like blew chunks out of that guy.
And that was the thing he was getting depressed about. That guy's always sort of down on himself. He's sort of like the guy who doesn't really believe in himself and always thinks he's going to fail. And then you have the hardened captain who is always just like,
snap out of it, man!
Yes, and he's always like, I can't even do it that low. You know, heard how deep his voice was. And then the girl, I forget her name, and then Hayata, and then, that's it, I guess. So, they make a good team, though, I think.
Yeah.
You know? It's
those
a good...
suits. That's all I want of those suits.
So, the question is, for you, would you watch another episode?
Definitely. Like, we watched it, I don't know, we finished watching like a half hour ago. I already went to iTunes to see if it was available to purchase, which it's not.
But it's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah. So you can watch
see
it on
what's
Amazon.
Available.
Ultraman, the series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I
have to double check.
I think I might have DVDs in Hawaii that I found at a book off.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the DVD somewhere in the house, but
there's is Ultraman still going? Is it one of those things?
Actually, I don't know when the last one was, but they've been making movies.
I've seen Ultramans with different heads.
Yes, there are different, because he's from another place, so there are different ones. There's all different kinds.
Oh. Are they all from that place?
I think so.
Oh, so there's each Ultraman's a different type of person?
It's like a race.
Like they all wear red and silver.
Exactly. But then there's
their
all
heads
different
are
kinds.
Different?
Yes.
Just different shapes?
And then some of them are just redesigns for newer movies.
Because someone sent me something that was almost like all the Ultraman's going on vacation. Some had horns and some,
I'm
guessing they make different ones just so they can sell more toys.
I mean, I suppose we could look into this a little more and figure out exactly. But yeah, you see guys like that with the horns and all that.
Yeah, that stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. I never saw any of those. The only ones I watched were the show that we just did. I've seen all of those, but I haven't ever seen any of the movies. Once in a while, I'll see a trailer for
Ultraman of this.
Well, this is episode 37.
And aren't there 39 of them or something?
Like, when did these other heads start showing up?
All right, so.
Yeah.
This is the part where the people who listen to us who know this stuff start going crazy and start yelling at their phones.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they're going to yell
and then leaving reviews.
Teach us.
They're like, I wish they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, so there was one made in 2016.
Whoa!
Yeah, a movie. And there's a trailer for that.
That's what we need to do. We should probably track down the movies at least.
There's been a bunch of movies made in Japan.
They also made movies of episodes.
They spliced together a bunch of episodes to make a movie.
Yeah,
they did that too.
I do know that there were newer ones that were made too. I don't know.
Wow.
We have to figure out a way to get through the series.
Yeah.
You mean as far as in this format?
Yeah.
I'd say two episodes at a time.
Yeah, it'd be great to start at the very beginning.
It's a whole nother. That'd be up until this point, at least 17.
Because they're jam packed. Yeah, but they're jam packed. It's like, if we did more than two per episode, it'd be trying to keep track of all the monsters. Each one's got to have at least one monster in it. This one had three.
Three, and then Pigman.
Four.
Today I was looking for somebody online who might have put together here's a list of every episode with a picture of the monster that he fought in that episode. I couldn't find anything
Database.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they have episode synopses and things like that, and some of them have pictures, some of them don't. But in some episodes, he fights more than one, monster. So I was hoping there'd be some sort of master, and maybe there is. Maybe someone will write in and say yes or... here, look at this. But I'd love to see it.
So the first two monsters show up and they just start fighting each other.
Yeah.
And in my head, I thought one of those was supposed because all right, we knew Pigman was gonna die because this is how it was brought up.
Yeah.
And while we were trying to figure out how we could watch the full episode, we were watching the clip where he died inside head. So I assumed that was the star of this episode.
Right.
That one that's kind of black and white.
Right.
He
ends up being sort of like the precursor.
He ends up being kind of just the lead. And so, the lead-in guy. And so he shows up with this other guy, and they automatically start fighting. He gets bitten in the arm, which is good.
Right.
We get some really red blood.
Yeah.
Which is
it was
cool.
Really red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, super red.
Yeah, that's good 60s
but
red blood.
But it's a monster.
Kind of like
so,
Hammer movies.
You know,
where it's like,
they need a lot of oxygen.
It's got to be a lot of red. And, they just fight.
Well, the first thing is
that... And it's like, he beats up that one monster, because that monster just, it doesn't, he wasn't a threat.
No.
No.
Well, there's no real understanding as to what the hell they were doing. Why were they fighting?
Well, the first monster showed up, and the first thing he does is he's like, fuck this mountain, and he smashes it in half for no reason.
Right.
He's angry.
What's going on in the brains where they just hate mountains?
Do you think that Pigman sensed... Was there a something that he sensed when he started freaking out in the microphone booth? Did he? Because they cut right to the monster coming out. Did he sense that this was starting to happen?
He was trying to give him a warning.
You're right. At first, I was thinking that he came to the humans to warn them ahead of time.
And going
to
the toy store?
Distracted in the store?
In the toy store? Yeah, maybe.
Then he gets in the toy store. He's like, oh, because let's face it, First time I saw a toy myself, I freaked out a little bit.
Toy stores are great.
And it's moving. It's moving. Yeah. None of the other toys are moving. But then he fell asleep. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, I thought it was cool that they knew exactly who to call. They literally just dialed the phone and it was Science Patrol.
Right.
Right?
They probably cover all of that stuff.
They clearly are who you call.
It's like the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like he was here to warn us, and no one could understand him. It seemed like he could understand the Science Patrol.
Yeah.
Because he was cooperating pretty well. But yeah. And he was trying to give the message, No one could understand him. And when he was in the booth, it was like, okay, guys, seriously, they're here now.
Get on it.
You got it. That's why he was freaking out, because he knew that they were there.
They were like, just wasting time. He had a timeline,
yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if it was that he sensed that these guys were coming. But let's go back to the store for a moment.
Okay.
If you're writing this script, okay, someone in the room says, all right, let's just start it out in a toy store. He's sitting in a toy store. Seriously, no one asked, like, why? Like, what was...
The only thing I could think of is, from a production standpoint, is we have Ultraman toys that we can sell. Let's show people on TV. It's almost like a commercial.
Right. Well, it was a huge hit with families when it first came out. So kids loved it. Yeah. So I'm sure it was...
And that's the only time we really saw that kid, too, was at the beginning.
Right.
So to have a kid in a toy store excited about Pigman, and then they said it a couple times that Pigman is not scary. Pigman loves humans.
Yeah, right.
Like they really wanted to hammer that home.
Yeah.
Hair everybody.
Yeah, like friend to Pigman, children. Yeah.
Pigman is really friendly. And look, we also have toys of him.
Yes. And
it was kind of a commercial, but I mean...
But from a story point of view.
Made no sense.
It literally makes no sense, right? It's like you said, he comes out of his ship and says, look, a toy store.
Are you familiar with these other monsters? This guy?
Oh, I've seen this picture before, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that guy...
This was the original picture that when we saw...
look at that.
When we saw Pigman, we're like, who's that little guy?
Yep.
It's that picture where it's, oh, you'll have the poster, it'll be easier.
Yeah.
The one guy's got like a snail head.
He kind of looks like Mayor McCheese a little bit.
Yeah.
With antenna.
With his snail eyes.
There was a toy of him in the toy store as well. Just to the left of Pigman.
Yeah.
There was a toy of that.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, the toy shelf, I noticed him too.
I thought there was also a Red King. There's a Red King toy in there.
Really?
What's weird is they don't have Pigman in the index of this book.
Ooh.
So, which is a little worrisome to me.
That he's not going to be in there?
Yeah. I mean, but it's not just about Ultraman, this book. It's about the guy who designed all these.
So, like, Pigman, you said Pigman left an impression. Did you have, like, nightmares?
Let me tell you what an impression it made on me. So, what happened was... Years later, like, I hadn't seen Ultraman in a million years, and I'm recording one of the Medal of Honor soundtracks in Seattle, okay? So I'm at this hotel, and I get up early. We're about to go to the studio to record, and I'm walking down the hallway, and I hear this screeching sound from this room, right? And the door is sort of open. And I heard the screech, and literally I got chills. I felt scared, and I backed up, and I looked in the room, and they were watching Ultraman. And just Whoa. The sound that I heard sent this shiver through me, like as I was 8 years old again, because it literally used to scare me so much as a kid. But I would watch it no matter what. I still couldn't not watch it.
The show all scared you, or specifically Pigman was scary to you?
Well, Pigman frightened me, because I didn't know if you could trust him or not.
Okay.
I mean, I just kept imagining if that thing came down my hallway at night.
He's shocking to look at.
Right? If that came down my hallway at nighttime.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I would have freaked out.
Yeah,
lost
the,
it.
The shock.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid and, like, I would see things in the shadows.
Yes.
And laying in bed, and it would be like, just kind of like a figure there. Nothing scary more, just the thought that he might touch me.
You know, you have to understand, I grew up in New Jersey, okay, and I was terrified of Bigfoot. The Loch Ness Monster, all these things. So I had a ritual.
Jersey Devil.
Jersey Devil. I was so scared of that as well. Local. In the Pine Barrens. And we weren't far from the Pine Barrens, actually. But it was Bigfoot, for some reason, that was the most scary.
Uh-huh.
And I used to have a ritual at night. And at night, I would have to close my eyes, and I would imagine that all of these boards were being put up on all the windows in the house. Like, and I had to physically imagine in my head, like, you know, just really go through every window in the house.
Are they just being put on there by magic?
Or yes, someone like, it's just sort of being put up.
Yeah, like you're watching some, like, The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Exactly, that's all just happening. And until, I couldn't go to sleep until I, in my mind, went through that with
every window
of the house.
Amazing.
And then I could, like, go to
sleep. The whole house, not just your room.
No, the whole house.
Amazing.
The whole house. So that was, you know... I lived for these shows, but they also terrified me to no end.
And the thing that sucks is, you know, usually kaiju are like gigantic.
Yes.
Pigmen can walk through your front door.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's what maybe he was more, why it was more scared than that. Because like I said, I always imagined that he would come down my hallway. You know, bouncing down the hallway.
Yeah,
because
when
there's
a shot where he was distracting the monster and he's bouncing around, it still looked kind of unsettling.
It's freaky.
Like, I'm going to make an animated GIF of that and I'm going to post it on Twitter because it's really freaky. It's like the film was like slightly sped up.
It's kind of sped up, yeah.
And it's kind of manic and just his hands are flopping around.
Yeah. It's so scary. I don't like it.
He's got no arms. He's just hands?
Just hands. And they didn't ever grab anything either. They just hung there.
It's a weird design.
They never offered him any food either. Anything. I don't
know. Yeah, that came up. I was thinking about that came up when we were talking about Mothra and when the guy kidnaps the twins. And I'm like, how do you take care of these Mothra twins? Like, how do you know what you're supposed to feed them?
Well, wait.
I said baby carrots.
What do the monsters eat?
Other monsters?
They don't eat people, right? Though. I never saw them eat
people. They never eat people.
I think Rampage, the game, is the only time you see like monsters.
Them actually eating the people.
People.
Well, there's other kinds of movies where they eat people. Yeah. What's that? You have that poster.
Oh, the Guanji? Valley of the Guanji?
Is that does it eat where he grabs the guy and he eats that one cowboy?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He picks him up and eats him?
Oh, that's an awesome movie. I remember I showed that to my son and he cried during that movie because at the end, the T-Rex gets burned in a church. You know, it's like they trap him in this church, and they burn the church down. And he's like, and I remember I looked over at Mick, and he was crying during that. And he was 8 years old
great.
Or something. He was.
I think
that's always good. You go, oh, good, my son has empathy.
Yes.
I'm not gonna turn into something.
I think Kong in Skull Island. You haven't seen.
I haven't seen.
We've seen it. There's a shot of a dude. It might even be in the trailer. He falls out of a helicopter towards King Kong's mouth.
Yes, I've seen that in the trailer.
Yeah,
yep.
But they cut away.
They cut. Yeah, they immediately cut. As soon as he lands in the mouth, they cut.
But you don't see him again either, right? So you're assuming he gets eaten.
You don't see a lot of people.
Or would he spit him out? Like, does he want to eat them?
I mean,
that was an accident, right? That's like when a fly goes in your mouth. You don't.
I think he ate him.
I think he'd eat him.
You think he'd just eat him?
It's just survival.
Yeah, but
it's like he eat whatever.
Did they talk about what he ate on that island? Because
you see him eating it.
Oh, we see him eating.
You see him hunt.
Oh, okay. Because he's bigger than
fish.
He's as big as Godzilla, right? I mean, like in this movie,
he's
almost. He's not quite there yet. He's like they mentioned that he's only like an adolescent or something. That he's still growing.
Oh God!
And this takes place in the '70s, so by the time
they
meet up with Godzilla
in present day,
to
be big as Godzilla, and that's basically what we're assuming.
Wow, but that's like how many years? 40 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, maybe he'll get all like silver on his
back. Yeah, is he gonna get? He's gonna be old, right?
You gotta see it. You gotta watch it.
It's
really
good. It's good.
I don't know. It's scary, but yeah,
it's less traditional gorilla.
I always wondered, like you know, we had. How did you know about the Jersey Devil?
I knew about the Jersey
Devil. Well, it's like those. Like I had.
You did too.
Yeah, I was gonna say
too. Where'd you grow up? Here,
Downey, Southern California.
Right? So, but how did
it's like when they do like those book fairs at school and you buy like Scholastic Club.
Really?
There's only those kind of books for kids. And there's one that's called like Mysteries, Monsters, and Untold Secrets.
Yes.
Untold, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that just had all stuff like Big Birds Over Texas, which are like these pterodactyl things. And obviously Bigfoot and Loch Ness and all those. And the Jersey Devil was there. That was one of them. And those kind of monster books, I always checked out of the library too.
Those things had such an effect on me. There was another, remember like In Search Of and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
There was a one I saw watching a documentary about Bigfoot. And I only saw it once and I must have been 8, 9 years old. And there was a scene in the documentary, air quotes, and where this woman is sitting by a window and it's at nighttime. So you hear the crickets.
Yeah.
She's sitting by a window at night. She's reading this book and there's this lampshade to her left. A lamp with a nice lampshade. She's reading, and then you know it's very quiet. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden you see this shadow go past the window behind her. She doesn't notice it, right? It goes by, and you're just like, oh God, what's going to happen? And then a moment of silence, and then, boom! There's this crash. A hand comes through, a big furry hand smashes through the window, knocks over the lamp, and is trying to grab her, and she like screams and runs.
I feel like I've seen this too.
That terrified me, right? So I only saw it that one time. So years later, this was about 4 years ago, I'm with my friends at work one day, And I said, you know what? I saw this thing and I was telling this story. And they're like, no, no, your mind is making that up. You didn't, that's not, you know, you can't have just remembered all of that. I said, so we started Googling for this thing and we found the scene. And it is exactly as I described it after seeing it just once as a kid. So these things sort of really imprint on your brain.
Totally. And that's probably something also that made you mentally board up the house.
Yes, exactly. Those are the things that made me do all
these
that.
Things that. Yeah, that's like now so many things like I'll try and be like, what was this thing that you just catch the glimpse of as a kid?
Yeah.
Like there's that movie Deadly Blessings where the spider goes out of one's mouth. And there's another one that was called The Screaming Woman that I remember I was seeing on the TV my grandparents' house. And this woman's like, what's this dog doing? It's just, and you hear this noise, like just like, and she's like hearing this noise, she's just following this dog that goes off, and she looks, and there's like some like essentially like a fresh grave buried, and there's a woman laying in there who's like, and the woman sees it, and she goes, she screams, and then the title card comes up, The Screaming Woman.
Did you ever see Prophecy?
No.
There is a scene in there where this monster sort of grabs this person who's in a sleeping bag, one of those sleeping bags where your head just is in this little circle thing. Yeah. They pick them up and they throw them against a tree, and it just explodes in feathers, and it just, you know, and I never forgot. That me and my brother were always so scared of that. Like if we talk about it now, he would freak out. He'd just be.
The only thing I could think of really that got me is the birth in V.
Oh, great.
The alien.
First the baby comes out normal.
The TV series.
Yeah. The baby comes out normal, and then she spits her tongue out, and she's got like the forked tongue. It's like, whoa. And then the other baby crawls out on his own.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
But then that baby doesn't survive. He dies in like the next, like, was that the beginning of the series or something?
I was probably running
like
out.
I think that was like the movie was the end with like the birth, but then he dies like I felt real bad because he actually turned out pretty cute, that little lizard. Bigfoot, looking at your cabinet curiosities,
yes,
in your office you have the $6 million Bigfoot.
I have
back
the $6 million man Bigfoot. Yep, and I have the $6 million man. He's in the garage. I got to get
like,
him out.
He was just like this like normal human face with a beard.
It was
kind of
so
like Grizzly Adams.
Wasn't
and
he
then a fursuit?
Didn't he turn out to be a robot?
Yes. Oh yeah, he was a robot.
Yeah, like actually, if you open the
does that guy's face open up?
Yep. Well, no, his chest.
Oh, okay.
So if you punch him, if Steve Austin can, so we have Bigfoot dog right here, and we go can punch in that.
Oh, was this your toy or
this was mine?
There quite later.
Almost all of those are ones that are mine from when I was a kid.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So my mom kept everything.
That's good.
So
we all wish our parents were hoarders.
What do you like? I wonder, my kids now, like, I think about those stories that I was just saying, and I think, all right, well, what would their thing? And it's not the same.
I don't know.
Like, them movies that I think are really scary, like Poltergeist to me was a really scary
movie,
right? I showed it to my son, my 12-year-old. He was like, oh, it's, you know, it's tense, but he goes, I wouldn't call it scary.
Well, I haven't seen Poltergeist.
The clown?
Yeah.
When he pulls him under the bed, or just when the tree grabs the kid. I was like, did his skin split open?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie since I was a kid, but the things I remember is the chairs moving.
Yes.
And is there a pile of chairs?
Yes, and then they all end up on top of each other.
And then is there a bunch of maggots on some meat?
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. Or the guy picking his face apart?
Yes, that is really scary.
That is so good.
Or when the skeletons
so
are popping
much
up in the pool at the
pool.
End. Yes.
That is fantastic. And I also like that big white, like...
Yes, that big creature
bone
thing.
Bone
like,
dinosaur
yeah,
creature
awesome.
Thing.
Yes.
Through the doorway.
I always thought one of the most kind of really crazy sequences was not even one of those big scary moments, but it was when they were all walking down the stairs at night. All the spirits were coming down the stairs, and they all like woke up and they saw them coming through.
God,
and they all ended up getting sucked up.
Weird, the weird ectoplasm and these like bits.
Yeah, and they're
chunky
wiping
things
it off.
Too
like
that
gross.
Were on them.
Yeah, that must be a thing. Does that really happen?
It's like the back then, every movie was
when you
PG.
Cross over.
Yeah,
it was.
So every movie was like PG, like. Back then, and so we, you know,
yeah, we'd go,
we'd just go see it. But nowadays, I don't know if you're show. I mean, what do you have to show your kids for them to be scared? Probably something rated R. And
that's what
like,
I was wondering. So, he keeps asking me, well, when are you going to show me a scary movie? And I'm like, these are scary movies. I don't know why you're not scared. And he's like, so he wants to see Alien, and he hasn't seen Alien yet. Good. So that could be the one, but I still don't see
but
it.
Alien,
being...
The only thing about Alien that's scary is going to be the jump scare.
Yes, exactly. It's just, and the whole scene when they're holding him down, the thing is coming out. And
yeah,
that's kind of scary. I still don't see it being the kind of scary that years from now he will go, "Oh my God, I remember when." You know what I mean? It won't be like
which son are we talking about?
My youngest.
Oh yeah, because you got to get him young.
Yeah, it's too late.
Get him young to traumatize.
But even so, I think it's. So I don't think
so. That trauma. Listen, we all survived that trauma. Like seeing Quinn get chomped by Jaws. I definitely felt like I shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah,
yeah,
that is scary.
Oh,
but he doesn't even think that movie's scary.
Pet Cemetery.
Oh yeah,
Zelda.
Oh, I don't. That's interesting. Okay,
Zelda will do it.
All right, I know. I keep waiting.
Exorcist.
Exorcist didn't scare me. It just grossed me out.
It is gross, I think even now the way it's paced, I don't know if they'll think it's scary. Yeah. It's sort of one of those.
I watched Alien recently, and you don't see the alien until an hour in.
Yeah.
So if your kid's into waiting for the
show me now,
waiting for that to build.
Well, I played that Xbox Alien Isolation, and that was scary.
Have you heard about
it? It was.
He got killed a lot. Yeah. He was hard to. There's parts where you gotta hold your breath because you don't want to. Yeah, you lean back when the alien goes by. But the alien's always running around trying to eat people. And there's so many times when you're sitting there and you hear him moving, but you don't know where he is. And then suddenly he's behind you.
Are you wearing headphones or is it in surround or?
No, just TV sound. But it was enough. It was enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kids are afraid of.
I don't know that they are
Well, even now, I feel monsters and monster movies, even the ones that try to be scary, I just enjoy them because that stuff brings me joy now. Like, as an adult, what's scary is people. You find out, oh no, it's people, home invasion stuff. That's scary.
Yeah, that's really scary.
About two or three months ago, we went to the theater by my house to watch Jaws.
Yeah.
They were showing Jaws. And my sister had never seen it before.
Oh.
And she's older than me.
Really?
Yeah. And she said the movie was good, but I think it terrified her.
Oh, so it did affect her.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I thought you were going to say.
No. Oh. I said, what'd you think? Because me and Stevie were what'd you think? This is the greatest movie ever.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't know. I don't know what to think. And she was kind of curled up in her seat at the movies. So I don't know what that does. Is it because she's our age and she can get in that mode of older movies and that scares her?
Maybe.
It is.
Maybe. I don't know. Kids, I think, are exposed to so much these days, right off the bat. I mean, think of it. We didn't have it just in our face all the time.
Yeah.
And, you had to seek it out in a way. You had to go for it. Now it's just turn on the TV, they can watch any number of things. Then it was I could not wait for Saturday, at 1 p.m., Creature Double Feature. That was it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And even a movie like The Hand was really scary to me. Something like that. All of those.
I was afraid of The Blob.
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah. I love that movie.
It scared me. I was afraid it was going to come through the toilet. I was afraid because it could go through anything.
So is just being a kid not fun anymore?
It's different. It's just different. It's going to be. And they'll have their own memories for their own contraptions or whatever they're doing their stuff.
Yeah, they're probably already scarred. They just don't know it yet.
Maybe.
Yeah, I wonder how he'd react to the 60s, The Haunting.
Yeah.
Because that one, I think that's one of the greatest scary movies of all time. And it's just sound effects, basically, the whole thing. But it's that's something that's you want to watch it in the afternoon while it's still light out.
Well, we had these records that had these scary stories on them. And we had this one called The Golden Arm. And it was about this guy who this woman tried to bury this golden arm, which belonged to this guy. And they kept hearing the voice, the golden arm, the gold, and it was this really just freaky, scary thing.
It's the scary stories to tell in the dark.
Yes. Yeah. And we would just sit down in the basement and listen to these records.
I love that stuff too. Lights Out. I used to love listening to Lights Out. It's the KNX 1070, the news station here, would play, they have a drama hour where they would play old radio dramas. Yeah. And one of the days of the week was Lights Out. And then I remember finding a Lights Out record at the library. Man, I went to the library a lot.
Yeah.
Like that remember going to that?
Yeah.
But one was one of the Lights Out record had this really great thing where he says, play this and turn your back to the stereo. And so the whole thing is this guy saying, he's coming. He's getting closer. And you hear like steps through like dry leaves
that's
and stuff
fantastic.
As he approaches. He's getting closer. Oh God, the smell. The smell of rotting flesh. He's getting closer. He's only 100 feet away now. And the whole thing goes, he's right, he's reaching out, and he's just about to touch you, and then a scream. It was so great.
There's something about audio, I think, that scares me a little more than movie.
Yeah.
There's some weird stuff.
I think that's primal stuff. I think that's the caveman part.
Oh, no, it's totally. There are sometimes when I walk back to the house from the studio, and there was for a little while this one sort of like a, it was like a little fountain thing that wasn't working correctly. And every once in a while, it would go, right? So, but usually it's like during the day or something. So at night, one night I'm walking back, and all of a sudden it goes. I ran to the door because I was like, "What the hell was that?" But
man.
You're right; it triggers this lizard brain part of
totally.
You.
Totally. The first time I moved to Hawaii, and this first time I actually like living alone, completely no roommate or anything. I was playing a video game called The Suffering, which was like a scary horror thing with like these really like these creepy characters that were like had like blade hands and they'd run them along a concrete wall and they made this scratchy noise, just all this creepy stuff. And there were like neighborhood cats that would walk around outside my window. And so I'd be sitting there playing this game and I'd hear something outside the window just like taking steps through leaves again. It's crackling of leaves. That is an impression. And I was like, oh! I think I got to stop this game for a while.
Did you ever listen to Number Stations? Have you ever listened to Number Stations at all?
What is that?
Okay, so this is something that it still freaks me out. And I only learned about it maybe like 8 years ago. So if you go online and look up Number Stations, there's these recordings. And they sound really old. And people saying numbers.
What?
But the thing is, and I haven't really looked into it more because I kind of still want it to be a mystery. People don't know. They're, apparently, this is all just what I heard.
It's conspiracy theory.
It goes, it's always going on. You know,
are they
a radio,
counting?
Like,
or they're just saying numbers?
There's
just
radio frequencies that, you, like, if you listen to the radio, like it goes up to like 107.1 or whatever.
Yeah.
There's apparently stations beyond that. And people don't know if it's spies, but there's just these numbers, and it's these people talking. It's almost
and you've
like
heard
an,
them.
Yeah, yeah. You
and
can find
them
on the internet.
Random numbers, or is it in sequential order? What?
They freak me out. I don't listen to it that much, but it almost like if you just listen to them, it's like, okay, is this like a spy recording from like the 40s that's still bouncing around the atmosphere?
What?
Is this like? Because I don't know what it is. Like
awesome.
I said, I don't want to look it up. Yeah, I don't want to look it up.
It's already dark outside.
But by the time I watched Lost
and the numbers
and the insane iteration, like that reminded me of the Number Stations, and it freaked me out because it'll just be a lady's voice. It almost sounds like if you watch those ghost shows and they hear a voice and it's got that kind of weird quality to it.
This is a whole thing.
Well, I don't want to know what it is.
Well, they don't.
It's the only thing that still kind of freaks me out.
It says they are believed to be. They don't even know.
Yeah, see, that's what's
so
great.
It says, believed to be addressed to intelligence officers operating in foreign countries.
Text me that link.
But
they'll be,
Google?
The thing is, there'll be these tunes, almost like a calliope, almost like a tone. Almost, but it's like these tones, and then you just hear a voice, a very static. It's freaking.
Wow.
All right.
They scare.
Can we play one? Real quick?
Go for it. All right. You got one?
Yeah.
It's good. Shit. Okay.
Kilo Geist. Kilo Geist. Kilo Geist. Kilo Geist. Kilo Geist. Kilo Geist.
Creepy. That was just one. Can you hang in there?
Yeah.
3, 2, 8.
Wow. That's good.
It gives me the willies.
That's still good.
Yeah.
Uterine tuned into his low-tech shortwave radio, stumbled upon an entire universe of radio stations that the public is not supposed to hear or even know about. They're called number stations, a holdover from the Cold War, but still very much alive and transmitting. Peter Rosen of our Salt Lake City station, KUTV, reports.
We found this one frequency somewhere. They're all encrypted. We can't read or understand what they're saying.
At their request, amateur radio enthusiasts John Lloyd and Glenn Worthington
heard 30, 40 years
ago. I love that.
I'm so glad that I know this exists.
I am too. I'm so...
It's great sound design for stuff.
Because I used to drop that in on the old...
It's like, so scary, though.
The old Darmalars episodes, I would, like for our Halloween shows, I would drop them in beneath the recordings for like a Halloween show.
It's so fantastic. Good.
But... they still freak me out.
The Lincoln.
And now I don't want to leave here and walk this, like, through the darkness back to my car.
My friend and I, my friend used to do this, like, he did the Spanish Latin jazz show at Saddleback College. And sometimes I'd go in and we'd do bits that didn't really go along with the music we played, but we'd find little stuff to do and we'd have fun and do bits and play cards and do all these kinds of things like that. And then sometimes the guy who came on after him wasn't going to come in for some reason. Uh-huh. And so we'd have to just shut the station down. So then we'd drive home and tune the station. The station just kind of sounds like just... So just like the end of the world has happened. Uh-huh. And we just start scaring each other at the thought. Imagine like alien just darting across the street from the car and stuff like that.
I love these sounds, though. See, this is what I love. Like on a radio... Like you could be... That's what I... want to live in that world where you're like the radio is your real only link to.
That's what freaks me out about the number station sounds is we could be living in that world. Those
still
signals
happening.
Are still happening.
Yeah.
And they're moving through us. We just haven't found the right frequency.
Old. The recording is so
weird. What are the theories on it?
People say it's spy stuff, which even if it's current, why does it sound like old?
Yeah.
And the thing that freaks me out is, if this is real and now, is there someone in a room right now with a microphone saying these things?
In really bad analog machinery.
So some of them are actual voices where people are just saying things.
Yeah.
Well, that one was a lady, the German lady.
Yeah, that was cool.
I listened to a bunch of them. You got to find just like a raw audio file where you hear a crazy tone, almost like an ice cream truck. But it's not
like a demented.
Then, like an ice cream
then
truck.
You hear
like when you,
it's crazy.
When you're playing one of those Jack in the Boxes and
you
start changing the speed
or do it backwards.
Whoa,
it's weird.
I like this.
Yeah,
it freaks me out.
Maybe Pigman is on the other line.
Way to bring us back. So Ultraman. and speaking of numbers, this was number 37 and blah blah blah.
All right.
Wow.
Cool. I don't have anything else to say about the Ultraman episode. I definitely want to watch more Ultraman.
We got to do more. I would love to go through. I kind of, now that I've watched that one, I feel like I want to go through the whole.
Yeah,
thing
I want to watch more.
You know, because I forget if it. I don't believe there's like an arc to the entire series, but it would have been.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they were just
episodic. I doubt
it.
I feel, it feels like everything's got to be self-contained.
But that thing did come back, so there might have been some episodes that connect.
Yeah.
So. Like, that's not
but
the
no
original.
But no overarching mythology.
No.
I think once it's a setup in the pilot,
that's it.
That's
you're
all
off
we need
to
know.
The races,
yeah.
It's like episodes of Superman or something. Yep. Well, there you have it.
That was awesome.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for joining us, letting us come over and watch
us
it.
To the
oh
world
my God,
of
absolutely.
Ultraman.
Anytime.
The Ultraverse.
Anytime. Let's. We'll be more organized and know more about it next time.
And then next week we'll have another regular episode. And if you guys want to visit us, go to kaijupod.com. That has links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And it also has our previous episodes. So until next time.
So next time, I'm just going to sit down in this department store and just fall asleep.
I'm going to actually bounce around with my hands flopping up and down.
I'm going to go translate a third species of bear.
There we go.